If the Ravens get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, based on the way they're playing on the at home right now, just go ahead and book your tickets to Las Vegas because the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl. Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. Today, we're going to talk all about that huge win against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll look ahead to the Cleveland Browns, and we'll talk a little bit about the trade deadline because we missed it, and I know some fans weren't very happy with how things went out. So we'll talk all about that. But first, those Ravens, they get the job done. I said it on the podcast last week. I thought it was going to be a close game, but I thought that the Ravens would fall a little bit short due to the inconsistencies that I saw last week. But the Ravens said, this guy don't know what you're talking about. Let's show out to those Ravens fans, defeating the Seahawks 37-3. What a butt whooping. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's move back a little bit because we missed it. We missed the trade deadline last week. We recorded, but it was about 24 hours prior to the trade deadline, and a lot of things happened, mostly within the fan base that I want to talk about. The Ravens were really close to getting Derrick Henry. Some might call it rumors. Some might say that, you know, saying that you have sources is not really the case if you're not writing for a reputable newspaper. And I know there's some other bloggers out there who received a little bit of flack for reporting on some Derrick Henry news, but I'm here to tell you, it was close. The Ravens were very close to getting Derrick Henry. It made fans very excited. Didn't work out. The Ravens weren't able to get him. Fans were not happy about it. I don't really understand why. I'm going to be real. You got Gus Edwards. You got Justice Hill. You got one of the most potent rushing attacks. In fact, prior to the deadline, I believe the Ravens were ranked second in the league in rushing yards, behind only the Miami Dolphins, who are just exploding offensively. And then you have other guys who wanted certain defensive ends at a certain team in Washington. I won't name any names, but you think you know who I'm talking about? The Ravens wanted them. Ravens fans wanted them. And fans were not happy because they went to other places for second-round picks, third-round picks. Picks that the Ravens fans believed were expendable for a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I agree. To some extent, I have to agree. If you have a chance to get a player the likes of Derrick Henry and you're only asking for a third-round pick or a second-round pick, pull the trigger, guys. Pull the trigger. But it takes two to tango. Eric Acosta tried his best. Tried his absolute best. I could tell you that for a fact. And it didn't happen. And I don't want to say, so what? But so what? The Ravens have, like I said, going to the trade deadline, the second best rushing team in the NFL. You have Gus Edwards, who just ran for 3 touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals. 3 touchdowns. That's pretty good, I'd say. And you wanted a pass rusher to help with the pass rush? The Ravens just happen to have the best pass rushing team in the NFL. They lead the league in sacks. There's no reason to pout to the level that these fans were pouting for guys that would help. I'd admit they would help, but the Ravens are just fine without them. And what's the old adage that Ravens fans have been spouting for the past couple of seasons? I like our guys. Yeah, I like our guys. I like them. They're doing great work. Now, we'll talk about it a little bit later, what the Ravens did in response to the trade deadline ho-humness from the fans of Baltimore. But needless to say, they're on a roll right now. They just spanked the Seahawks. I think the Ravens will be just fine. So enough with the slander. I saw a fan or two rip into Eric DaCosta's wife, which is like, what are you doing? I'm showing my age a little bit, but attacking someone's wife is grounds for trouble. I know it's social media, but it doesn't make sense to me. So just chill out. And I know this isn't a representation of the entire Ravens fan base. I'm sure it's a small portion. In fact, I'm sure the one or two guys who actually did that probably weren't even Ravens fans, probably just some bots. But I know Ravens fans who were not happy. Maybe not to that extent, but they were not pleased. A lot of people saying Eric DaCosta wasn't this. Eric DaCosta isn't that. comparing him to Ozzie Newsome, who, no offense to Ozzie, who I loved, Eric DaCosta is not afraid to pull the trigger. Ozzie, ever since that Kyle Bowler trade that went awry during the draft, Ozzie don't like trading draft picks. And to each his own, but DaCosta's not that guy. If DaCosta wanted a guy and didn't get him, it wasn't because of DaCosta. Again, I said it takes two to tango. Titans weren't interested. Commanders were not interested. What do you want him to do? Pull a gun to their heads? It's not going to happen. So, let's move ahead to the Seattle Seahawks. The trade deadline was Tuesday. Game was on Sunday. No Derrick Henry. The rushing attack isn't going to be his pawn, right? Wrong. The Ravens rushed for 298 yards. A couple of kneel downs away from reaching the 300 club. If you remember that at the end of the game, the Ravens took kneel downs. And every time you take a knee, that costs you yards in the stat sheet. Which is, I get it, but come on. The Ravens had 300 yards rushing prior to those kneel downs, and that should count for something. But regardless, 290 plus after just missing out on Derrick Henry, sounds good to me. Keaton Mitchell, welcome to the National Football League. National media is like, oh man, this guy is amazing. If he's a waiver wire addition for sure. If you're a Ravens fan and you're in a league with other Ravens fans, Keaton Mitchell is not available for waiver because everybody in Baltimore knew that all Keaton Mitchell needed was an opportunity. And once he got that opportunity, he was going to do amazing things. And that's exactly what happened. So if you're in Pittsburgh or California or New England or Wisconsin, then yeah, maybe Keaton Mitchell's available. But if you're a Ravens fan and you're in a draft, if you're in a fantasy league and you're looking for Keaton Mitchell, don't waste your breath. Don't waste your thumbs. He's stashed. Because everybody knew that Keaton Mitchell was going to explode, and boy, did he. Now the question is, where do the Ravens go from here? Do they take carries away from Justice Hill? Do they take away carries from Gus Edwards? Is Keaton Mitchell now the number one back? Relax. Gus Edwards is still going to be the future back. I'm assuming he's going to lose some carries. Justice Hill for sure will lose carries, but Keaton Mitchell made his presence felt. The Ravens have got to implement Keaton Mitchell into the offense more and more and more as the season progresses, and I think they will. And having him with that speed, not just the speed, but he's a powerful guy. He reminds me a lot of Ray Rice, of J.K. Dobbins, the way that he can punch into the hole sometimes and really shed a couple of blockers. You can't really arm tackle this guy. So he has the speed, he has the power. He's a good complement of both Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Obviously not as strong as Gus Edwards, but definitely faster than Justice Hill. So big things ahead. So let's pipe down on the Derrick Henry dreams. Of course, there's a chance he can come back next year. I'm not sure Derrick Henry, if he was available for trade this year, will be available next year, but something to keep your eye on. I don't know. I mean, you got Keaton Mitchell. This is the reason why analysts, pundits, fans are saying that the running back position, there isn't much value because you can get Keaton Mitchell from the streets. I mean, I'm an ECU guy because I have friends who attend ECU. If you remember, Chris Johnson was an ECU guy. So we know. If you're a fan of football, you know what Keaton Mitchell can do. And, you know, guys like him are out there. You don't need to spend a second-round draft pick for a guy like Derrick Henry. You don't have to pay $50 million for a guy like Saquon Barkley or what have you. These are the things. So big ups to Keaton Mitchell. Great job by him. Great job by the offense as a whole. They did great work in Seattle. Moving on to the defense. I mean, we talked about it. You guys wanted a pass rusher. Kyle Van Noy had back-to-back sacks, including a strip fumble that sealed the game. The Ravens are flying on all cylinders on defense. Mike McDonald, just enjoy him. For 2023. Just enjoy him. Geno Stone. A mistake that I'm glad I don't have to make anymore now that we're moving past Seahawks, but Geno Stone got his sixth league leading interception. Another guy who you could just enjoy him this year. He's gone. Some fans have mentioned that maybe Geno Stone stays and they give it to Marcus Williams. I don't know about that as far as cap space goes. I'm sure we'll have Brian McFarlane from Russell Street Report in by the end of the season, and we'll talk a little more about that and what that will look like as far as cap's concerned. But I don't know. I don't think Geno Stone's coming back. Madubuike, another guy. Contract year for this guy. Playing out of his mind. Enjoy him this year, guys. So the defense is looking great. Enjoy the cheapness, the talent level, the value that Eric DaCosta is getting from these guys. Unbelievable. Enjoy it this year. I'm pretty confident the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, so there'll be some satisfaction in knowing that you had those guys help you get that trophy before they leave for that green, for that dollar. Because these guys are getting paid. Geno Stone leads the league in picks, guys. He's gone. And what a great guy he is. I got a chance to listen to a podcast with him and Marlon Humphrey, and he's just so funny and very humble guy. So kudos to Geno Stone for what he's been able to accomplish. 6 interceptions is, and it could have been 7. If you watched the game, he almost had a pick. He dropped in the end zone. So good for him. I'm happy for him. But yeah, the defense is flying. And you don't hold a team to 3 points, especially with a Seahawks team that has DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. I mean, good God. Besides the 50-yard catch that DK Metcalf had, the defense had him under control. The Seahawks could do nothing, literally nothing. So kudos to Mike McDonald and that defensive unit for getting the job done. Tops in the league. We're going to get back. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. Browns have a great defense of their own. They're looking for payback. We'll see. But yeah, the Ravens defense is looking good. Offense is looking good. Winning 37-3. You think, whoo, the national media finally going to get on board. Lamar Jackson didn't throw a touchdown. But man, I've never seen a more decisive quarterback. I mean, he was making all the reads. Didn't look erratic in the pocket at all. And the Seahawks are known to have a pretty decent pass rush. He looked comfortable in the pocket. And if he was being rushed, he knew what to do. Throw the ball away, find an open receiver, make a different read. You're thinking, media's going to have this guy's MVP no matter what, right? Not so fast. And this is a portion of the show that's, I try not to be too pissed off, but every once in a while I hear something from the national media that makes me think, do these guys watch football at all? I posted it on my social media. Eric Mangini, former head coach for the Jets, Bill Belichick student, states that Lamar Jackson looks like he's regressed. Not paraphrasing, but basically he's saying the 2019 Lamar Jackson, he threw like almost 40 touchdowns. We're halfway through the season. Lamar Jackson's only thrown 9. So he doesn't really understand why is all the hoopla and happiness over a Ravens offense that he, in his opinion, doesn't look nearly as good as 2019. And to that, again, I say, you don't watch football, do you? You don't watch tape. You click on the coolest website you can find, click box score and look at the numbers and say, oh, he did good. Oh, he did bad. I mean, that's the only, unless you're just completely and 100% a hater of Lamar Jackson. And believe me when I say there are Lamar Jackson haters out there. There are haters of Lamar Jackson who do not want him to succeed because they are afraid to just sit there and admit that they were wrong. There's people out there. Trust me. You guys know them. We're human beings. We know people out there who just do not want to admit that they're wrong. Now, I'm not sure where Eric Mangini's analysis of Lamar Jackson was prior to the draft of Lamar in 2018. But I'm just going to go off on, I'm going to say that he probably didn't think he was going to be much of a quarterback. And now Lamar's proven him wrong. He's proven everyone wrong. He proves me wrong sometimes. He certainly did last week. Just admit you're wrong and move on. Saying that he hasn't improved as a passer is ridiculous. 2023 Lamar Jackson or 2019 MVP Lamar Jackson? Which one would you rather have? Give me 2023 Lamar Jackson. He's comfortable in the pocket. Give me 2023 Lamar Jackson. He knows when to run and when not to. Give me 2023 Lamar Jackson. He finally has help on the outside to go along with Mark Andrews in the middle to be able to comfortably throw the football without worrying about drops. Now, I know there were drops in this Pittsburgh Steelers game, but for the most part, the catches have been sure-handed and they've made plays. Give me this guy. Stop living in the past. I mean, the MVP award, although very nice, is a tad bit overrated. There have been plenty of players who've been won the MVP. They didn't do much afterwards. I'm looking at you, Cam Newton. Sorry. So let's all pipe down for the Lamar Jackson hate. He's doing great things. And hopefully he continues to do such because the Ravens definitely need him on their quest to win the Super Bowl this season. When we get back, we'll talk all about the Cleveland Browns matchup. The Browns are coming back for blood. They did not like the way things happened last time these two teams met. I'm sure they'll be looking for some revenge. Let's see if they can get it. It's at M&T Bank Stadium. Good luck. We'll talk all about it next on the Ravenstock Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravenstock Podcast. As you mentioned earlier, the Cleveland Browns are coming to town. We mentioned it earlier. The Browns got the ass whooped by the Ravens last time. 28-3. If you remember, no Deshaun Watson. No Deshaun Watson whatsoever. No Nick Chubb. That's not changing. He's out for the season. But they had Dorian Thompson Robinson. DTR wasn't it. So I give the Browns fans some slack, some leniency with the 3 points that they scored because he wasn't ready. Especially against that defense. We've talked about it all day. That defense ain't playing around. They're seasoned vets, a la Geno Smith, a la Joe Burrow, that the Ravens have had no problems against. Jared Goff, who many thought could have won the MVP last year, stomped. So DTR had no chance. Deshaun Watson's back now. Now, some may say that, I mean, I've heard it. Don't lie and say you haven't heard it. There's some who thought that Deshaun Watson was better than Lamar Jackson. I know you're going to say, no one ever said that. Yes, you did. Maybe not now. I mean, he's regressed, but prior to being brought into Cleveland, signing that fully guaranteed contract, which is laughable, right, about now, many were saying that Deshaun Watson was a better passer, better overall player than Lamar. So that's the type of quarterback that's coming into town now. I'm sure Browns are confident. They just shut out the Cardinals, a team who the Ravens had a little back and forth with. I don't think the Ravens were really at risk of losing that game against the Cardinals, but the Ravens didn't shut them out. That's for sure. The Browns did. So that's one thing that I'm sure fans will be leaning on if you're a Browns fan heading into this game. So you got Deshaun Watson back. You got a team that many are touting as the best defense in the league in the Ravens. And I'm sure Browns players and fans alike think that they're the best defense. So there's some animosity there. We talked about the Cleveland Browns getting screwed out of a team. The Ravens came over to Baltimore, have won 2 Super Bowls. The Browns, factory of sadness, if I'm being honest. So not much going for Cleveland. A lot of animosity, a lot of hatred, a lot of pent-up frustrations making its way to Baltimore via Cleveland. And so many people are asking themselves, is this a big test? The AFC North is the AFC North is wild. The Ravens are saying at 7-2, Steelers, Bengals, Browns, 5-3. So not only would a Browns win help the division a lot, I mean, it would just muddy the whole thing. The Ravens would be 7-3, Browns would move to 6-3. Depending on what happens with the Steelers and Bengals, they may move up or down. The division will be a mess. Way more difficult for the Ravens to eke their way out into the top and grab that division trophy. So there's some incentive on the Browns side. Now I'm saying all this to say, don't sleep on the Browns. Now, do I think that Deshaun Watson's absence the first week played a part in the Ravens winning? the first meeting? No. Tom Brady wouldn't have helped the Browns win that game. The Browns defense has to show up against the Ravens offense, and that's really, that's going to be the game. Can the Browns stop the Ravens? Can anybody stop the Ravens? So that's going to be the main matchup that fans need to look at. Also, we need to look at the Ravens side. The defense has to keep Deshaun Watson contained. Has Deshaun Watson lit the world on fire this year in his limited appearance because he's been injured? No, not really. He's been serviceable. He's made plays. He's definitely the best quarterback the Browns have. Don't get it wrong, but I don't see too much drop-off in talent between him and Geno Smith, to be frank. And the Seahawks have a way better offense, at least on paper, than Cleveland Browns. I mean, there's no Nick Chubb, no huge running back to alleviate the pressure that Deshaun Watson has coming his way. And Amari Cooper is one of the best receivers, very underrated, especially now that he's in Cleveland. But he's no DK Metcalf. He's no Tyler Lockett, as far as talent is concerned. So there's a drop-off in talent and overall skill on offense when you move from Seattle to Cleveland. But keep in mind, this is a division game. The AFC North has plenty of stories of teams with lesser records coming out on top. The Ravens have done it to teams a bunch of times. So this isn't going to be the game for the Ravens to screw around. We talk about trap games. This isn't it. This is a division game. What happens? Do I think the Browns win? I picked the Seahawks to win. It would probably do us some good if I just went ahead and picked the Browns. I mean, that would probably mean that the Ravens beat the Browns 60-2 or something. Not going to pick the Browns to win. No way. No way. I think it's going to be close. Now, I said this last week against the Seahawks, but I'm very impressed with the Browns defense. I just love what Jim Schwartz has done with that defensive unit. I mean, Myles Garrett is by far and away probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, they have great corners on the outside to match up against Zay Flowers and Bateman and Odell Beckham. So we'll see. The Ravens last week went ahead and did something different. They went ahead and instead of having Zay Flowers in the slot, they had Odell Beckham in the slot a majority of the time. In fact, my buddy Gordon McGinnis over at Pro Football Focus threw a stat at me to help me realize, because I was wondering, it seems like Odell Beckham Jr. and Zay Flowers switched roles. It seemed like a lot more targets were going Odell's way. And I wasn't just thinking about, oh yeah, it was Odell's birthday, so of course he's going to get a touchdown. The Ravens are going to try and push it his way. It was more so of the offense was flowing around number three. And Zay Flowers had limited targets. And let me thinking. So thank you so much, Gordon McGinnis, for coming out with that stat. Yeah. Through the first 8 weeks of the season, Odell Beckham saw the role of slot receiver 9 times. Total 9 times. In those first 8 weeks. In week 9, he was a slot receiver 10 times. 10. So, sounds like the Ravens, at least for that week, wanted to switch things up. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Ravens attack the Browns. Will they go back to what worked with them the last time with Zay Flowers being in the slot, you know, down on the outside, or will they continue what worked against a very good Seahawks defense and have Odell in the slot, move him around to get him involved in the offense? Which really leads me to another point in question. Are the Ravens only effective at hitting targets who are in the slot? Mark Andrews rarely is in the outside. He's often not next to the right tackle or left tackle, but he's in the seam. He's attacking the seam. He's attacking the zone in the middle of the opposing defense. And now with Odell Beckham not really seeing much success as a target, all of a sudden when he moves the slot, he gets similar to success to what Zay Flowers had his first 8 weeks in the season. So that epiphany for the Ravens, looking at the stats and what went down in that game, the Ravens might need to find a way to get their outside receivers involved. I know Rashad Bateman has had a couple of nice plays after dropping those passes against Pittsburgh, but The Ravens need to find a way to get those outside targets more involved. Scheme up plays and make them more of a focus in the offense too, because now defenses are going to know. You know, the slot receiver is getting the name of the game. I'm sure they already knew that. Maybe there might not be much to do about it, considering they also are a formidable run team. But just think, if you can get some outside help, scheme up some things to get those outside offense weapons of yours moving in the right direction, it's only going to pay dividends moving forward in the season. So yeah, that's one thing that the defense of the Cleveland Browns could think about. One thing that I think that the Ravens should be thinking about. And again, my score prediction, I don't think the Ravens are going to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. I think it's going to be a close game. I think in 24-21 Ravens. Of course, we'll come back next week and the Ravens beat them by 50. But that's the offensive philosophy, in my opinion. That's more respect to the Browns. This is little to do with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are a great football team. You're not going to blow people out by 30 points every week. It'll be nice. I'm sure my blood pressure would really appreciate it. But I don't think that's the way it's going to work in this one. I think the Ravens are going to go ahead and beat the Browns, but it's going to be a close game. We'll see if I'm right. We'll get final thoughts when I get back at the Ravens Talk Podcast, and we'll wrap things up. Thanks for watching. See you soon. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, we mentioned the Browns coming into town to play the Baltimore Ravens. I'm predicting the score about 24-21. 3-point game, 3-point win for the Ravens. I'm sure fans will want to see a big old blowout, similar to the success they had against Detroit and the Seattle Seahawks. But it's a division team. I'm sure the Ravens beat them by 25 last time, but now you have Deshaun Watson, the seasoned vet. Somebody who's going to come in and maybe put some points on the board, something that not many teams have had the chance to do. I saw a stat saying that against teams with a winning record, the Ravens are averaging 10 points per game allowed on defense. By far best in the league. So good luck to Deshaun Watson. Well, thank you guys for joining us on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, social media is blowing up. I appreciate all the support. Appreciate what you guys are doing for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. The community is growing. I love the fans. I love all of the people out there who joined the show in the past. When we come back next week, it's going to be a Thursday night game against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to talk all about that Ravens game against the Browns. Hopefully the Ravens pick out the win, and then we'll talk about the Cincinnati Bengals coming up in a short week. But enjoy the game. Browns-Ravens. A lot of animosity coming to the Ravens' house. The fans have been very supportive of those Ravens, so keep it up. Keep those tickets away from the Browns fans, and make sure that the Ravens pick up the win. If it's a blowout, then we know we got something going. Sam's just going to predict small margins of victory for the rest of the season. Small margins of victory. But again, thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.